one chooses to walk the way of the Mandalore, you are both hunter and prey. This is the way.
This is the way.
You expect me to search the galaxy and deliver this creature to a race of enemy sorcerers?
This is the way.
This is the way.
Wake up, Mandalorian.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise.
Hey, let's make the baby do the magic hand. Come on, baby. Do the magic hand thing.
Can I say, I'm an excellent judge of character.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondary Heroes podcast. This week, we wrap up Mandalorian Season 2. It's the finale, Episode 8, Chapter 16, The Rescue. This is your host, Trevor, and joining me as usual is...
Hey, guys, it's Prague.
Hey, there's no crying emojis here. This is DeLorean Wolfgang.
Wow.
Why would there be crying emojis?
I don't know. Have you looked at Twitter?
That's true.
Everybody put on 1,000 crying emojis.
No, Trevor doesn't look at
dumbest
Twitter.
Dumbest thing ever.
You can't.
The title's called The Rescue. I mean, they spoiled it right at the start.
Right. There's nothing to cry about, people. I mean,
there's no crying in Star Wars.
Cried, but,
come on.
But I don't know.
There's no crying in Star Wars.
I don't know.
Wars.
But, Brog, we'll get there. Did you say that you watched the episode 4 times?
I don't know if I did. I watched it a few times. I usually do.
40
because,
times,
4
times, who knows?
You can lie to me over text, but you can't lie to me over podcast. Come on, Prague.
Well,
get
the first time I watched it was during work, and I hope no one that I work with knows this. So I wasn't really paying attention. You know, I was kind of like in between emails and stuff. Like, I should probably rewatch the episode since I do a podcast about it. So I rewatched the episode and I watched it a couple more times to kind of get my feel on things because it was the way I felt about it was confusing to me. So I had to reaffirm some of those feelings, I guess. That's all. Hmm. We'll dive into that, though, during our spoiler takes, I'm sure.
Cool.
Ooh, yeah. Was that your spoiler-free take?
That maybe that is. Yeah. Confusion.
So if this is your first time joining us, we do give a spoiler-free portion at the start and then go scene by scene spoiling it. So with that, no, this is just going to focus on episode 8. There's a lot to unpack for a potential season 3, spin-off series, all kinds of crazy stuff with this whole time period in the Star Wars universe. But this is just going to be episode 8 and the finale of season 2.
Yep. So there you
sure
go.
Sure is.
So what did you think?
So do you guys want me to start then?
Yes, please.
It was fun. Oh, it was a fun episode. I say it every week. It's a fun episode.
You do say it every week.
But you know what? Every week I enjoy it until Sunday rolls around when we record this and I talk to you fellas. And then I'm like, God, why do I even watch this show anymore? But no, I actually really enjoyed it. You get fun little cameo. And then... hints on later seasons, and yeah, man, it was pretty cool. I do have questions, which I'll bring up during the episode.
We have answers.
Quipow, quipow, yeah. So yeah, this will be more interesting because the episode was pretty out there. It was a bit different. So
okay,
I'll just leave it there.
All right, Trevor, what do you think then? I had confusion. What do you have?
So. Spoiler-free review, I say this is the best episode of the season, simply because all of the detracting episodes that we've said, they tied it all together. It fits. Like, you have dumb episode 2 or dumb episode 4, but it works together once they actually sequence it. Like, all of the throwaway side quest missions actually come... They wrapped it up really well, and they wrapped up... Like, this could have been a series finale, rather than just a season finale. Like, they completed their entire story arc. Like, they can go anywhere. They left places open, but they literally wrapped up the main storyline of 2 seasons.
That was my feeling as well. It felt like a series finale instead of a season finale. That was not a bad or a good thing. It's just that's how it felt.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I didn't want to say that because I thought that might have been too spoilery. How do you say that word? Spoilery?
I don't know.
Spoilery?
Yeah, we got it. Anyways, yeah, I suppose, I guess before we jump into our spoilers, make sure you guys are following us over on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Please rate and review our podcast over on iTunes. Follow us over on YouTube as well. Hit that subscribe button. Smash that bell because you get all the notifications for every episode drop. And every now and again, we add fun little things here.
Find little side missions and side quests.
Yeah, follow us. Actually, I was about to do one. Actually, I'll do one this week. I'll jump on YouTube and I'll make a video this week.
All right.
Cool.
There you have it.
So,
Christmas special.
With that in mind, spoiler warning, we're about to spoil the entire series, the season, the episode, everything related to Star Wars existence. So, here we go.
Buckle up.
Buckle your chin straps. Let's do this.
Okay, let's go.
The episode starts with Slave One going against an Imperial transport, and that's always fun to see the Slave One in action. And it's always cool to see the Imperial transport when it's not just landing on the Death Star to drop off Darth Vader or the Emperor. So that's always good to see fun. And then Boba uses an ion cannon to, rather than destroying the transport, because we need somebody on this transport, we just have to disable it with an EMP-style attack.
Yeah, it's not kind of neat way to do it.
Well, and the guy that they were trying to get was he was like the scientist or whatever.
Yes.
He reminded me of the guy from Star Trek. Damn it, man, I'm a doctor. I don't know.
Okay.
I thought about him, he was always yelling. I don't know. I didn't like him. But yeah, so ion cannons, cool.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. So he was shooting lasers at him the whole time, and then he threw in the ion cannon.
The lasers were there to rattle them. He wanted to shake them up so that they would yield to them, pretty much. He wasn't trying to hit them.
Oh, okay. Fun. Yeah.
Because when he does try to hit them later in the show, you can see what he's able to do when he's trying to hit them.
He will not miss. He's pretty good with the Slave One. So, cool. Anyways, yes, they did that and had that cool little moment where it came up and revealed itself to them. That was neat.
And then they board the ship, and we get this really weird Imperial officer who was completely out of, like, he just had the weirdest dialogue. Like, one point he says, "I suggest you shut your mouth." It's like, what are you doing, dude? And then he holds the doctor guy hostage, and he starts talking about that Death Star conversation we had last week. You know how many people were on that ship who got just blown up? And then he's like, "Oh, you're from Alderaan. I saw the tear on your face. And how is that getting blown up?" So he laughs at her planet getting blown up, but then we want to feel sorry for him for their Death Star getting blown up. It was this weird thing.
Did anyone else notice that the guy looked like the guys that were dressed up in that Discovery Channel music video? Who are the name of that band?
You're talking about Bloodhound Gang?
Bloodhound Gang, yes.
Dude.
His outfit looked like the Bloodhound Gang music video.
You know what's weird about that? I literally just watched that music video yesterday.
Weird.
Dude, there is something in the universe, man. Maybe. That is super weird.
I just, the whole time I'm like, he looks like that guy. It looks goofy, like the way he looks. I don't know why.
The song
that
is
was
Bad
kind of
Touch
thing.
By the Blood Count Game. There, that's
Bad Touch.
Bad Touch.
Wow.
Those guys were pretty goofy. I mean, there was one point, so he's holding the doctor hostage, and the other guy's like, "We should just hand him over." And he shoots him in the back, and the guy screams after he got hit in the back with a laser. Like, literally, if a laser hits you in the back, you're dead instantly.
Oh,
I mean, I've never been shot by a laser, so I don't know how accurate that is.
Well, I mean, everybody who does get shot by lasers immediately dies. Except
this is
guy.
True.
And he doesn't have any armor. He's literally wearing like a shirt. There's nothing protecting him.
Maybe he's tough. He's a tough guy. All right.
At least it wasn't the Wilhelm scream.
Right. That's fair.
Check.
And so then Cara Dune is like, "Let the guy go." And so he starts talking. And so he lets his guard down and she shoots him in the face. And that ends the standoff.
Yeah.
I will say this episode it felt a lot more violent than most Star Wars stuff that I've seen.
And like, I appreciated it. But yes,
I would say the next most violent thing would be Anakin killing all those children.
The younglings?
That's probably,
we don't get to see that, though.
You don't see it, but I mean, my imagination goes bonkers with that, so...
Yeah. Okay.
You like slicing up little kids. That's a fun imagination.
It's fair. Not what I want to think about, but that's what happens when you... I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway.
So, anyways.
It was a violent
episode.
Anyways,
they got the doctor. That scene is over. And so the reason they got him is because we're going to find that out later. Because actually, we get to roll the credits or the introduction to say that the title is The Rescue. So you know they're going to go save Grogu at some point. Mm-hmm. But now two Mandalorians walk into a bar. We have this weird introduction to a joke that we don't get a punchline for. No. And they do. So when Boba walks in, they don't play any music. But whenever Mandalorian appears, they play the single note of his theme song. It's always fun to hear. I love the theme song, whatever instrument they use. It's just great.
That's funny. Stacy said the same thing. She's like, I love that music. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
It's a good soundtrack, I think.
If you watch Making Of for season one, the episode 7 of that, it's all about the composer guy and how brilliant he is in designing new styles of music.
Yeah, it definitely has an interesting and unique sound, I would say, which is kind of cool.
Nice. That gives our listeners something else to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go. And there's going to be a Making Of season 2. Just comes out on Christmas Day.
Ooh!
No.
Same with Wonder Woman.
Bo-Katan returns, and then we have this weird fight scene with the sidekicks, who both talk about being sidekicks and that they're not there, but then they fight over that very idea, and they throw each other into tables, and then stop, and then they stop, because all you have to do is say stop, and they stop.
So, do we know how they found them? Because I don't know if I remembered that part of the episode, how they just happened to find Bo-Katan in that cantina.
It's just a Mandalorian bar.
Okay, they're like, where's it gonna go to every bar in the galaxy?
They definitely didn't say anything.
It was bizarre. I'm like, what?
Because the reason I jumped ahead is because the reason they got the doctor at the start was to get his little, like, RFI badge to go into the Imperial station, but that sends them on to Moff Gideon's location. I don't know how they found Bo-Katan to go and tell him that, oh, you don't know where Moff Gideon is, so that's too bad. Well, we do. It was just, yeah, you're right. It was not a sequence thing.
Yeah, maybe he like opened up his map and saw the side quest button and said like, oh, over there is the symbol for Bo-Katan.
It's Bo-Katan.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Let me put a waypoint for that and we'll go there. Pick her up real quick.
So it's like 14, 20 meters and you're just
flying. Oh, perfect. All right. That works. I have to say a lot of this episode, and maybe it's because I've been playing a lot of video games the last, you know, because of quarantine and all, but it felt very cutscene-esque, a lot of the scenes. It just had that quality to it. Anyways, we'll talk more about that later.
Yeah, they have that whole clone talk discussion. You sound like a clone. And then we get more talk about Mandalorian or the actual Mandalore planet and how it's in terrible shape and Bo-Katan still wants to rule it. And so I need the Darksaber. We have all that good stuff. And then they drop this fun, fun little piece. The Darksaber can cut through everything. And he's like, wait, it can't cut through pure Beskar. What? Could that be foreshadowing?
Nothing can. Nothing can.
Apparently.
Beskar is, I don't get why it's not the most highly sought after thing in the galaxy.
It's worth everything. I mean, you can just put it on and people come at you with laser swords and darksabers and you just sit there like, bring it.
I would just leave. I would live in one. I'd make a box and just float through space in it all the time. It'd be great. Have a nuclear reactor inside.
There's nothing they can do to you.
Ah, nothing you can do.
It reminds me of oh god, what was that hockey movie with the kids? Mighty Ducks, where the goalie puts on all of his pads for the first time, and they all just fire off all their pucks at him at one time, and he's like, "Oh wait, this doesn't hurt." Okay. So that's the same thing as wearing Beskar. Great.
Exactly. It's just like they should have done the flying V during the episode. Dang it.
The flying V.
Oh, well.
Maybe that's what the Iron Man should have done, but we'll get there.
Not there yet.
And so now we have this whole sequence where everyone sits on the Slave One and we get the plans, because it wouldn't be a Star Wars episode, especially in Dave Filoni's Clone Wars Rebels idea. You have to have a sequence where we're planning to invade some place and you split this way, you go this way, we'll circle back this way. So we get that whole setup. And so we now know what our heroes are going to do. And so we skip through that, fast forward. And so then we actually get to the big ship. And we have this we get to see the maneuver in action, essentially, where Boba Fett's shooting on their transport, and then they're going to use the code clearance from the doctor to try to have right away. And Moff Gideon's like, no, you can't come and land. Send some TIE fighters at it. So then we have this whole fun sequence there.
Well, I thought Moff Gideon was sending the TIE fighters to go to take on Slave One.
He is, but the thing is, he's still not letting the transport land. Like, their plan was that the transport could land, and then you go attack Slave One. And so he was like, no, you can't land. And so he messed up their plan.
Right, yeah. I mean, what was it? They were like, no, we need more TIE fighters to come out. And they're like, no, we have to land now!
Yep.
Yeah.
So
Moff Gideon was one-upping them.
So they only got two TIE fighters out. Now, that whole scene I thought was really cool because the transport vehicle and Slave One was both in hyperdrive. And they both leave hyperdrive roughly around the same time. And then Slave One is sitting. The whole plan was them to make it look like Slave One was firing at the transport vehicle. So they would be like, oh, we got to let them in because they're one of us type of thing. I thought that was a pretty cool way of going about it. And then having the Slave One firing at them. I don't know. For some reason, it visually just looked really cool. But I'm sitting there in the back of my head because everybody and their mother was on Twitter posting all these like crying emojis and all this stuff. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, no, they're going to kill Boba Fett in this scene. My whole thought is the cannons from the Star Destroyer are going to start firing at Slave One and he's going to die. And that's why people were sad.
But weird that you would go there with that, but okay.
That I would say every single
scene. It's good
scene,
not to have expectations going in. Like, for example, for Force Awakens, I read online that there was some sad thing. And for some reason, I thought it was connected to Chewbacca, where I saw some headline. It's like sad and Chewbacca. And so I closed it. And so I'm waiting for Chewbacca to die the whole damn movie.
Oh, no.
He never does.
Well, he does, but then he doesn't. So, yeah.
He dies inside.
Yeah. Inside.
No,
but yeah, it's the same idea. Don't have expectations. Like, that's why I went into this episode without any knowledge. Like, I muted our chat because I didn't want to hear your guys' opinions of things. I just didn't want to hear any opinions whatsoever, so I could just make my own.
It's probably a good call. Good call.
Yeah. I made sure not to say anything. That's why I even said in our chat, hey, somebody please text me after you watch this.
Right, that's right, you did.
But you're right, it was a good show. I mean, the flow of the lasers was just great. The way they're whizzing by the Imperial transport, they even did a camera shake when the lasers got particularly close to show, like, how impactful they could be.
Yeah, it was a very cool-looking scene. Even whenever they were like, screw it, we're going in, we're landing regardless, that even just looked cool. It looked super CG, but then again, everything in space looks super CG anyways. But
set in space?
You'd think that they would at least try with the type of money that Disney has.
Right. I will say that I really liked the way that the TIE fighters come out through the nose of the ship. Like, that was really cool.
Yeah.
Really neat.
But at the same time, you look at that and you got to think, that's just poor designing.
Because probably, but it looks cool. Who cares? Looks cool.
Yeah, it looks great.
Most of Star Wars is poor design that looks cool.
Like, look at the Slave One. The Slave One is a cool looking ship, but like design wise, like they really had to rethink like how the heck it works, you know?
Right.
This season.
Well, and the lasers being all the way down on the bottom.
Yeah.
And so, speaking of, he does that maneuver where he spins the flip, 360 degrees and he gets both TIE fighters out.
That was
an awesome maneuver.
Yeah.
Oh.
Man, but I feel like we're going to talk a lot more about this TIE fighter scene than the whole show.
I love TIE fighters.
It was a good sequence.
I like it.
No, it was a really good one. Yeah, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do crash landing. They storm the docking bay. And this is the whole sequence. It was kind of like episode 3, once they had Bo-Katan, where they're storming an Imperial thing and they're going from sequence to sequence. They're in their little group of four and they're like taking out stormtroopers here and taking out stormtroopers there. It was a lot like episode 3.
Yeah, only this was the girls get it done portion of the episode.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that until it was pointed out to me, because I don't make a big deal about it, because I think that's the ultimate goal, that it just
shouldn't
feel
natural.
It's not. Yeah,
but it was still cool to see that, though,
because
you don't see that too often. So it was neat. It was fun to see them kick butt and join forces too, and not like bicker the whole time. It's like, it's kind of played out, you know, that whole thing.
This isn't 27 dresses.
Whatever that is, okay.
We did get to see Mando's skill, though, with Bo-Katan flipping around with the jetpack to take people out. It looked a lot like an episode of Rebels or Clone Wars.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. It was neat to see that. You kind of knew it was going to happen, but the Stormtroopers didn't. So they're like, oh, we're going to come on the bridge. And there they were.
Sandwiched. Now, at this point, is this where Moff Gideon pretty much just says, okay, send in the Dark Troopers?
So he activates the Dark Troopers at the same time. And then we get this weird sequence where when they activate, somebody blares like some weird techno music. It like gets them in the mood.
Oh, the dubstep.
I don't know what that sequence
the
was.
The dubstep, yes.
Man,
it was so weird. I was like, what
harder.
Is happening? Is this a rave? What do we do?
In the mood, man.
I feel like I was half distracted during this episode.
That's why I had to watch it a few times. I was really distracted.
Yeah,
I
probably should have watched it right before we got in here, but yeah. So he says deploy the Dark Troopers. Did it feel to you guys in sequence of the show and the way that they edited it, it almost felt like it took 30 minutes for those Dark Troopers to finally turn on in a way?
Well, they gave us that at the start.
They told us it was
going to
take a while.
That they take a while to start. And so episode, I thought there was a way to deactivate them because there was, you know, I thought they were going to run out of juice. I thought it was going to be like your car and you're on an all electric car and you're just dead on the freeway. I thought there was going to be, and they never did that. So it was weird that they brought it up. It was only so they could they spliced together. Oh, look, they're marching. Oh, look, their eyes are powering up while the little crew is coming and killing all these stormtroopers. And they just spliced it back and forth for
it
like
five. It was dead tension. That's what it was.
Right. But the more they spliced it and the more they kept going back to it, it was like, man, this is taking a long time for these Dark Troopers to get out of their little cubbies.
Yeah.
Well, then they had the juxtaposition of mowing through the stormtroopers while these Death Troopers are getting ready. Because again, these stormtroopers might as well just be crash test dummies for as much resistance as they offer. Oh, look, Death Troopers are getting ready. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man.
So
we got nothing on that one.
So the Death Troopers are finally ready, and Bo-Katan and her crew are almost to the bridge. And so now we get to see what's Mando been doing this whole time, because he went to the other path, and he's right where the Death Troopers are coming out. And one escapes before he can close the door. And so he has to deal with one Death Trooper to show us how amazing Death Troopers are in action. So, you know, punching him in the face, into the wall, and the other ones are trying to punch their way out while Mando's trying to survive. He tries all of his techniques. He uses the fire. He uses the little blasters on his wrist. He sends the rope out. He's trying everything. And then finally, he gets to his staff, his Beskar staff. And that's going to be foreshadowing because he's going to realize that he can actually use it and he doesn't need to just carry it on his backpack for some reason.
Right? I had this cool weapon. I'm just going to leave it back here the way Boba Fett did in the original trilogy. Remember that? That was fun. Let's not use my weapon. It's like a Mando thing to do, I guess.
That whole thing, this is what I liked about that entire scene was it, as much as I don't like the Dark Troopers, I liked the fact that they showed how tough it would be to kill just one of them. And the fact that it took Mando barely even got out of that situation. He probably shouldn't have even gotten out of that situation because that thing just manhandled him. But like when he's firing his torch, his flames into the thing and it slowly turns and looks at him while the heat is just pouring out of its face. Dude, that was great filmmaking.
That sequence was great. And that part right there with the flames, that reminded me of Terminator. It felt less like Iron Man, it felt more like Terminator. Because Terminator, it's much more intimidating than an Iron Man suit.
Right.
That's true.
And that's what when we were mentioning when Yoda was on the rock, or Baby Yoda Grogu was on the rock, and the Dark Troopers came down and took Baby Yoda up to their ship, and we were sitting there saying they needed to fight. They needed to have some kind of something go on. This is exactly what I wanted. Right, and it blew me away because I was like, okay, these Iron Man suits, they're a bit silly, but they showed the toughness and that was the cool part. But the fact that like Mando had such trouble with one of them, and there's an army behind those doors of more Death Troopers, if they get through that door, they're done. That's my right. There's no way.
Yeah, my only note on this scene personally was that it didn't feel very Star Warsy to me. Even though I liked it, I liked the scene, I liked the Death Trooper. It just didn't feel Star Wars for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it was the way the robots moved, or maybe it was their initial design. Like, I kind of wish they looked more, I don't know, like they were designed in the Star Wars universe. It didn't look like they were to me. That's just me. That's
I agree. Yeah.
They look more like prequel droids, like the super battle droids. That's what they're more kind designed of, like.
Yeah. It was just weird. Yeah. It didn't fit in this timeline, I guess is the way to say it, of events. But that's anyways, fair. That was because
the doctor mentions that earlier, because he answered right. the question that we had from episode 6 about the Dark Troopers. We replaced the human. That was the last fail part of it. And so now they're mm-hmm. all robotic. Because again, the Death Troopers we know that have been in canon for a long time, they're like Rogue One time. They're old clones that were genetically altered.
Yeah, they can die. They can make decisions. Yeah, they don't want that. They want a cold, hard yes. killing machines that just keep going and mowing people down.
So they designed Terminators.
Yep, pretty much.
So that's what I'm really glad you brought up is you said the magic word, humans. Mm-hmm. I think earlier in our series of talking about all this, I think I might have asked, what are people in the Star Wars universe? Because this is supposed to be galaxies far, far away in a time long, long ago. I mean, long, long ago, there wasn't humans. And there's no humans in other, I don't know. I just found it to be interesting that he said humans. I don't know why. Because it's humans. Such an Earth, it's an Earth word.
They're still human. Well, it's not an Earth word. Like, we're Terrarian because it's from Earth, Terrarare, you know, but human is just like a species. It's not.
Right. We're a species on Earth. I mean,
it's just like Mon Calamari. It's no. Humans can be on different
calamari.
Planets.
Exactly. Yeah, we discussed this last episode, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
We did.
Yes.
Was it last episode? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's funny. Interesting. Yeah. Anyways, well, yeah. it is always in the back of my head thinking, okay, not really humans, but I can get over it.
Okay.
And so yep. then after he defeats this one with the Beskar spear and actually shows that he can use it, he's able to get them all to suck out into space. And when he first did it, like, we know what happens later, but I was like, well, that was easy.
Right.
I did too at first. I was like, that was a little too easy. What the hell? And then I went, oh, wait, no, never mind. Wait, they have jetpacks and stuff. Never mind.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, first two, I was like, what? Okay.
I had the same feeling.
Yeah.
I was like, geez. And then they don't want them to fight anymore, I guess.
Our other crew and Cara Dune's gun jam. She specifically says that her gun jammed this time. You know, I brought it up like 3 different times before when their lasers just don't work. So her gun actually jammed this time because I didn't know laser guns did that. But regardless, this is a Mandalorian season thing that they've decided to do. And so then she gets to use her gun and like hit people. But it just made a point of her and how annoying she was in this episode. There was 3 different times where she said some stupid thing where like, this is getting mud pies off of a scud back or some like stupid Star Wars terms to say how difficult things were. She said it like 3 different times. It was like when they Boba Fett used some different words to say it's like the pot calling the kettle black, but he did Star Wars terms. And I don't know who wrote the dialogue for this episode, but it stood out every single time of just out of place.
Yeah. It sucked like a Thor sum to me too. And I did not care for her this episode at all.
Yeah. It's like they forced it in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Her acting wasn't really great either. So.
They could have killed her off, and no one would have noticed.
No.
Crying emojis.
But anyway,
so then we transfer back to Mando and what he's doing.
Yes.
And we get to see Gideon, because he's not on the bridge. Because, you know, our other crew storms the bridge, and there's nobody there. And now Gideon, where is he? Oh, Mando runs into him, and he has Grogu right there, and he has the Darksaber against him. And so this was probably the best portion of Gideon that we got, where it seemed like he was relatively intimidating to say, assume I know everything about, you know, about what mm-hmm. you're doing. And he seemed like actually menacing as a villain. He hasn't really been menacing up until this point. And so when he's cool and calm and collected and in control of the situation, it gets more of that Gus Fring menacing idea. And he even gets to say the line that, oh, are you worried about your murders and savages who are up on my bridge right now? because it's an interesting juxtaposition, because we always have the hero's perspective, but they literally just murdered how many people to get to the bridge, and they didn't even stop 1 second to consider what their actions were doing.
Yeah, they could have like snuck up behind people and like just put them to sleep, but nope, straight murder.
They put them to sleep.
It's an option. I'm just saying, you can sneak behind somebody. Mandalorians
have all kinds of tools. They could have wrapped them in ropes. They could have done all kinds of stuff.
Oh yeah, nope. Death.
Like, yeah. Spider-Man doesn't kill anybody. Batman doesn't kill anybody. Come on.
But hey, murder is so much easier.
Oh, it's quick.
Of course it is.
When you have to transition to the scenes of showing the Death Troopers power up, it has to be quick and through
those
stormtroopers.
Being a Sith is also much easier.
Well, here's the thing is, once you put a helmet on these stormtroopers, nobody cares. That's right, you don't see a person anymore. You see
a
helmet.
That's what. So Prog just said the Sith word, and then we get to the point later in this episode where there's going to be a really fun juxtaposition of two really well-known scenes, and it's the idea that they didn't want to delicately dive into. See, it's too big of a thing. I got to wait until we get to that.
We'll
point.
We'll wait. Yeah. Let's go. Let's continue on with this scene. Ooh, let's continue on with this scene.
Leaving the listeners on edge.
And so then Gus Fring says, very pragmatic, right? He becomes very pragmatic, where we already got the blood. You can take Grogu. You know, I've got my purpose for him. And Mando's like, you know, I don't care about your stupid darksaber, your stupid ship, or whatever you're using the stupid blood for. I could care less. I want the child. Give him to me. I can go my own way. So he's like, cool, you know what? Here, take him.
And he
then
fell for
Mandalorian
it.
Turns his back, and it was a trap. The Mon Calamari guy wasn't there to yell,
no,
it's a trap.
Where was he? Where was
they
he?
They should have brought him along. Just right? You go with Mando.
The whole time. Yeah, he's there for like two full seasons. I'm like, why is this guy here? And it comes out right now. Like, oh, that's why he was here.
The door slides. That whole planet, the whole water planet, everybody's, they're just... It's almost like their little tingle, little yep. spider tingle goes off, and they're all going,
oh, it's a trap. They should have wiped over to the planet real quick, just to show them.
It's a trap. They're watching
it. They're watching it on TV. It's like live. Anyways.
I mean, if they have footage of the Death Star blowing up, somebody must be capturing the footage to broadcast, so they can broadcast whatever they want to.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, let's
move
on.
So
then
he engages the dark saber and he starts going to town on Mando with the dark saber, and it doesn't do anything at all because he has Beskar. Like, literally, he's hitting him with two hands, like full on baseball bat swings on this guy, and it doesn't do anything at all. And Mando's like, you know what? I'll bring the spear out because the spear is Beskar too, and we'll do a little battle. It will be like kind of like when Ahsoka was fighting the lady in episode 5, but now it's flipped and. It's the exact flipping, but for some reason the spear comes out in this duel in the corridor.
Of course.
So spear wins this time. This was a really cool scene, just again, visually, it was a really cool scene because whenever the darksaber would land on the Beskar and he would be holding the saber on the Beskar, you could see the glow and that the spear was heating up. It almost looked like it could have possibly like gone through at some point, but man, I don't know. I really liked seeing the spear glowing red as if it was melting.
Yeah, it was cool. I will also say that this is probably the best that the darksaber has looked during the series. I don't know if it's because it was moving the whole time, it wasn't stationary. Maybe that was easier for it to render or what, but it looked great in action, I would say.
Yeah. This whole scene, it was well choreographed. I mean, there's that one point where Mando kicks the saber up ahead into him,
or it kicks
the spear up ahead. It's a really sweet sequence.
Yeah. You can tell he was struggling too, Moff Gideon, you know? He was a little bit worried. So,
he disarms him and spares his life. What were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was going to say, you guys don't seem to really like Moff Gideon too much.
It was that like we didn't really know like first what his purpose really was other than getting the baby Grogu, but it wasn't very menacing up until this point. It was just kind of there.
Okay.
It was almost like just a regular officer or something. Like oh yeah, please do this, please do that. Like, what? Yeah.
He seemed like one of those guys that Darth Vader ends up strangling. Right. That's all his role seemed to be.
So they finally wrote him some weird dialogue.
Like, I never got that feel from him. I thought that he was just, he was kind of like a cool bad guy. Like, I looked forward to seeing
he's always
more
a cool bad
him.
Guy. He's a great actor. It's like, you need to give him
right,
dialogue.
And I think
and
that's
purpose.
What it is. I think the actor really brought that whole thing together.
Aren't you? On episode whatever, you said he was reminded you of a salsa dancer, and you didn't think he was a good bad guy.
Well, no. Okay.
Did you really? Did I forget
that? That one episode, he reminded me of a salsa dancer. Yes.
That's fantastic.
But I looked forward to seeing more from him because I wanted him to be better. And he was. He got better throughout the whole series. Every time I saw him, he got a little bit better every time. And then this one was like, yes, this is a cool bad guy.
He just really needed...
This was his best as a bad guy, because then once he's disarmed and he's not going to kill him, he takes him back to the bridge, and Mando wants to hand over the Darksaber to Bo-Katan, but it has to be won in battle.
Can't do it.
It's a whole Mandalorian thing. And he's like, I yield here. Just take it. I don't care. And that does not work. So Mando has the Darksaber now as the season ends, and that sends up fun stuff in the future. But it also shows Bo-Katan. You saw how angry she was. Literally, she's like, what are you doing with that? And it wasn't about anything.
As soon as he walked in with that, was a great moment. When he had the saber with him, and he was dragging him into the room. I'm like, oh no. I'm like, this is not going to be a good thing.
Wait, so you guys already knew this going into it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like,
it's a Rebels and Clone Wars thing.
I'm like, oh my God, you can't have that.
I saw that and I was like, well, that seems silly, but this could be a really cool fight.
Mandalore has some fun pedigree. I mean, it's a war planet.
Yeah, it could be a cool fight.
Oh, you were hoping for the fight is what you're trying to say. Is that what you're trying to hint at here?
It could have been a really cool fight that never happened.
I do wish that.
Actually,
that
whole storyline disappears.
Well, there's time.
Oh, yeah, there's
time. Anyway.
We'll get to that.
So then, like Prog mentioned, the droids are back. Oh, good. The jetpacks saved them all, so they come flying back onto the ship. And so they have their slow march to the bridge. It's kind of like they might have used some original footage from when they were powering up, but it's the same thing. We're splicing them in, go to their face. They're coming slowly but surely. And the one thing I thought was, it's a good toy design. Like, they don't necessarily look good on the show, but as action figures and stuff, they look really cool.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots. You can have them
in
the ring.
That's what they look like. They look like Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
And they look like toy soldiers, too, the way they march.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then right once they start punching the doors to get in, that's full-on Rock'em Sock'em Robot style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. How many life forms?
And so they're punching through the door, slowly but surely. We get to the point where I was like, there's going to be a point where Mando and crew are overwhelmed by some terrible adversary, and it looks like all hope is lost, and then somebody's going to come and save the day. And I don't know if it's going to be Ezra or it's going to be Luke.
And there's going to be a new hope.
Makes sense. Yeah. So it was that choice because Ezra makes sense. Because it's the whole Dave Filoni Rebels connection. But then they're playing the music. It's more and more sinister. The door's almost open and X-Wing flies by.
X-Wing. Giveaway.
X-Wing.
Dead giveaway.
Hold on. What is Cara Dune say? Oh, one X-Wing. Great. We're saved.
And a fucking Cara Dune.
That's how I felt, though. I was like, what? What is one X-Wing going to do? What? One Jedi is going to come out of there. But then after talking to you guys, I'm like, oh, cool. We're going to see this new guy called Ezra.
You didn't realize it was Luke at that point?
The X-Wing is Luke.
Nope. Didn't even think about X-Wing and Luke. I thought Rebels. I mean, it could have been Dave Filoni flying in. I mean,
that's what it was, actually. It was actually Dave Filoni.
Dave Filoni brought in our special guest in his X-Wing.
Anyways. All right. So he shows up. We knew it could be a few of them. We figured it might be Luke. It was Luke. So let's continue.
Right. So it is actually Luke. And he has his, gloved hand. He ignites his green lightsaber that we've seen.
His
timeless.
Green lightsaber. Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because ironically enough, Ezra does use a green lightsaber, but he has a different hilt, so that's how you knew it was Luke's green lightsaber.
And the hand, too. It was a dead giveaway.
Yeah, the hand.
That was the and only so then thing we get that to threw see me off.
Or... Luke slice up every single one of the Death Troopers. And this gets into the point that I was kind of making that. So when you're killing Stormtroopers, they have masks on or helmets on, so you can't see that their human lives being taken. And then Luke, as a Jedi, especially this is early on in Luke, like this is shortly after Return of the Jedi, he's still, you know, altruistic Luke who is still believing in the Jedi. He couldn't slice a bunch of people. And so right. They purposely, I think, made the robots robots. So that way when he annihilates all of them, he's just cutting up machinery.
Yeah, it made it look more awesome by like not having him kill people. Yeah.
It really did make it look awesome, because when he's using the Force on some of them, like where he's just sitting there almost, I know I'm gonna say choking, it looked like he was choking one of them.
Yeah,
but he just held his hand out and it just started like shaking, and it looked, I don't know, it just looked bonkers. It looked so good.
Yeah, so this is an interesting sequence, because we at the first time we see him, it's all through like security camera footage. So it's not full on. Like it gives a few splices of him, like the sparks flying and actual, you know, 4K footage of him slicing through the robots. But then after he does that for a while, we get to the sequence. And so this sequence is almost shot for shot identical to Rogue One. At the end of Rogue One, where Darth Vader comes and goes through the whole corridor. It's because it starts in the same way. Instead of having the red lightsaber down and illuminated, it's the green lightsaber. But it's almost identical. And it's interesting you brought up the squish portion at the end. So he gets that one and he squishes it like a tin can. That's a very Sith maneuver. And it's very something that Darth Vader would do. And it's his son doing the right thing. But he has the green lightsaber. This is Luke. He's positive. He's a Jedi. It's all good. But he does this very dark techniques to go through that corridor.
I think that's what I always kind of liked about him, was like he's not the lightest of the Jedi. Like if you kind of see him, like it's great. I love Luke. Anyways, yeah, it was kind of fun. But yes, he's very, very dark. That's for sure. Anyways, so he did that. And he does the whole entrance thing where he opens the door. Oh no, before that, there's a few more scenes actually. Because you have baby Grogu, you know, looking at the monitor.
Oh yeah, he touches the monitor. He looks super cute because he was exhausted earlier.
He was,
and now it's bringing life back to him. His ears perk up, all that good stuff.
He's like,
this must
have
been crying emoji point.
Not yet. Not quite yet.
Come on, I'm gonna get it.
Not yet. All right. So what's next?
And so then they don't want to open the door because they just saw this guy in a hooded cloak take out everyone. And Mando's like, "Open the door." And so Luke comes in. And he takes down his hood, and we get to see this lifeless computer-generated version of Luke from the past. And it is, like, I liked the episode, but this part just...
Insert my cry emoji here.
Yeah, this was, like... that was my crying emoji, is that they desecrated Luke Skywalker. Mark Hamill's alive, okay? He's not Carrie Fisher, who passed away, and they tried to repurpose in Rogue One with that lifeless version. It's not Tarkin, who he also passed away, and they had to repurpose him. Mark Hamill's alive. I understand that he's completely changed, but they were able to DH Kurt Russell and Robert Downey Jr. and Samuel L. Jackson, the Marvel Universe, using Industrial Light and Magic, which is a LucasArts thing. You'd think Star Wars could use the same damn technology, but no, we get this lifeless, dead Luke who has these repurposed lines from the past. Like, they didn't even have Mark Hamill voices. Like, I know his voice is different as he's aged, but it does. His lips don't match the words. It's this weird creation, like Frankenstein Luke, that comes through the door.
Wow, so you're, really, you're much kinder than I was when I saw that scene. I was livid. I was like, I was so excited. I was like a little kid on Christmas. I was like, yes, the green lightsaber, my favorite hero of all time. And then the reveal of the hood. I'm like, really? That is what you went with? Like, oh, man. It was
I don't know. It
I was
didn't
like,
bother
I was
me too
hoping
much.
For Sebastian Stan or somebody. I'm like, that's what I thought. I'm like, oh, they finally got Sebastian Stan in to do.
I was
Young
hoping
Luke.
For Sebastian Stan.
And it wasn't him. I'm like, what are they doing? Like, he's on their payroll. Like, why wouldn't you? Doesn't make any sense. He was probably in the studio that day, you know, filming.
He probably was. He's filming Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Just use him. He's right there. Anyways, that was weird. That was weird.
So,
took me out of it.
During that scene, I was sitting there hoping for Ezra. Because I feel like if
Ezra
was
much
to come...
Even though I love Luke... I would much have rather had either Cal Kestis or Ezra show up. Someone new and different, you know?
I wanted something different, and I wanted something that wouldn't feel so final. By bringing Luke in, I felt like Mandalorian is final. We're done with Mandalorian's story. Because Mandalorian's whole story is Grogu.
Right.
Grogu's now with Luke Skywalker. If he was with Ezra, we could continue this story and have Mandalorian kind of tag along from time to time.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever.
That's not completely true, though.
But like, what can you do with
essentially,
Luke Skywalker?
By bringing Luke in, what it does is it takes Grogu out of Mandalorian. Because earlier this season, Prog's like, you can't do a Jedi story and a Mandalorian story in the same show. It's too heavy. And so they've announced Ahsoka as a standalone show because you couldn't have Ahsoka just doing stuff during Mandalorian. And so if you put Grogu with Luke, it puts Grogu within the timeline of the 9 movies. He's officially in that timeline. And so that way, Mandalorian can now go back to Mandalore. He has the Darksaber. He can connect with Bo-Katan, and they can go with a whole history. It could really be a Mandalorian show, because I don't think when they made Grogu, they expected him to be as popular as he became, and that they had to curtail the entire show around him.
It's possible. I was wondering that as well, because at first I thought the same thing, and then I thought, well, why else have him on the show and be so prominent the first season? I don't know.
Because he was just a bounty mission in the first season. And so essentially this season ends with him completing his bounty mission. You know, he did it. He completed his mission. So now he can go get a new mission. It opens up a whole potential avenue. But the reason it feels like a series finale is because Grogu has been the entire series so far, and you literally taken him out of the show. They wrote him off the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's my problem. And honestly, I almost feel like there's going to be a lot of people, like the normies out there, who are going to stop watching. Because there's a lot of people who actually watch the show for Grogu. They didn't watch
it. That's what I thought, too. I was like, there's going to be less people who watch this show if they're truly writing him out of the show right now. As I'm watching, I'm like, there's going to be a lot less interest in the show if they're getting rid of Baby Yoda.
100%,
Yeah, I agree.
So that was my whole thought. Right once I saw Luke Skywalker, I was like, oh, okay, so this is all done then. This is over.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what I felt too.
Just, so.
We did at least get Luke's song, which in A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, it's called a Luke song. And then by Return of the Jedi, it's called Force Theme, and it's still Luke's song. Sorry.
It's still great. It's still great, though.
It's the best song in Star Wars, and getting a few notes of it, that's all I needed. Because this is the end of now we get to the point where Mando takes off his helmet in front of everybody. It's not in front of robots, it's not for a particular mission, it's because he truly wanted to do it to see Grogu one last time. So this is what you're talking about, Twitter being sad of
this
sequence, essentially. But for me, I didn't feel anything, because I don't think the show had enough drama or tension through 16 episodes for me to really care. Like, Mando always comes out successful, no matter what. No matter what's happened to him, it always goes his way. And so this is just like the end of a storyline. I don't feel like, oh my God, they built such a strong emotional connection. This is hard. Think of the stuff they've gone through. It wasn't like that at all.
And I think that was my problem too, is I didn't feel like, I mean, yeah, I get that it turned into like a father-son situation, but at the same time, Grogu's now going off with a much powerful, I just lost track of where I was going, but at the same time, I felt the same way as you. I had no crying emojis. I'm like going, who cares?
The only crying emoji was seeing that lifeless dead Luke try to do anything.
Yeah, that was like a needle scratch moment. It was, oh God. Yeah, I get what they were going for, though. Like, I understood that moment. It was a sweet moment. It just didn't hit as hard for me because they didn't build that bond the way they should have.
Yeah. Like, you know what they're trying to do.
Right.
Didn't hit the way that it should. Like, it almost felt as stupid as that R2 cameo, which was totally unnecessary.
About that. R2 showed up too.
I've seen memes now joke about how R2's like, oh, I remember you, Grogu.
Right?
Because he was around.
That's what he was probably saying to him. Like, Order 66. That's exactly what was going through my head during that scene. I'm like, oh, they're talking about old times. Like, oh, hey, remember that time we did this? And
remember that killed? Time when this guy's dad killed everyone? Everybody.
That was great, huh?
Grogu could probably fit inside of R2.
And he
could have smuggled him out.
No, that'd be cute. Little adventures together.
Oh.
That's a new spinoff coming. R2 and Grogu.
R2 and me. Aw.
Oh, I like that idea way better than what we're getting.
Yeah. But I, you know what? You brought up a point earlier, Alex. I was slightly disappointed that we didn't get some kind of more of a confrontation right now between Bo-Katan and Mando. Because like that was like, I'm like, oh, here it is. Maybe this is going to be, because I kind of thought there might have been a big like fight for the saber at the end of the season. And we didn't get that. And I didn't know if it was going to initially fall into his hands. But, you know, it would have been nice to have seen more confrontation. But I guess they're saving that for another
season. That's a whole new season once we get Grogu out of the way.
Well, right. And that was the thing is like it was almost like that whole thing was forgotten about. Right once Luke showed up, forgotten about. Oh, Darksaber.
Well, speaking of being forgot about, what's his face? Moff Gideon shoots Bo-Katan like 100 times, like at point blank range with a laser blaster. And then at the end of the show, she's just standing and just staring at Luke walk away like that was no problem at all.
It's like a glitch in a video game. Like, wait, what the heck are you doing standing up?
Next, she's walking through walls.
Right? What? Well.
But yeah. Luke must have did some force healing on the DL that we didn't know.
I mean,
notice.
Force healing, not plot armor. Silly me. What am I talking about?
That's right. They do have the force healing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Everyone does.
So since we're talking about force healing, this does connect into the greater scope. The reason they brought in Luke instead of Ezra, like Ezra made sense from Dave Filoni's perspective, but Luke makes sense essentially from Kathleen Kennedy's perspective to give credence to Last Jedi, because people were trying to say that this discounts Luke's Last Jedi, but this actually fits into the character arc perfectly, because Grogu is the reason now that he initiated the academy to try to train Jedi.
Exactly.
Like, Ben is either barely born or not even conceived yet. I don't know. He's a toddler. He's not going to school yet. So he's going to start the school with Grogu, and then Ben's going to come, and then that's going to really jade Luke to the whole idea that he... think, because right now he's like, oh, of course I can train Grogu.
Yeah,
he literally said,
one little kid, that's fine, let's do it.
I can do this. Like, he needs, right. Grogu has a lot of power and he needs someone to be able to maintain that. So he still has this idea in himself that he can train it. And so he fails Ben, he fails his sister, and that causes his Last Jedi, I'm going to go leave the whole thing. So the only question this does rise is, how does Grogu get out a second time? Literally, Anakin kills all the younglings, Grogu escapes. Now, Ben is going to kill all the Jedi Academy, and Grogu, is he going to escape again, or does Ben kill Grogu? I don't know.
Does Ben kill Grogu?
Oh, I don't
like
that.
I need
like
a spinoff
that.
Of that, too.
That does open up a whole new thing, man. Yeah. I mean, there's too many questions unanswered.
See, that's what happens, though, because... if you force feed Luke, because people are like, oh, look, it's Luke. I've seen him before. Ezra, nobody's seen Rebels. Hardly anybody. If you trotted out a guy who right. looks like, you're like, who the hell is this guy? Like, people
I'm
even
sorry.
Knew Ahsoka.
No, dude, I'm the everyman. I have no idea who Ahsoka is.
That's but what we're saying.
At least she has identifiable traits. Like, you might have seen her either as a pop or a glance on some kind of screenshot or something. Ezra's just a regular guy. He has black hair, and by now he probably has a goatee. That's about it.
Yeah.
He's just a guy.
Yeah.
But we didn't get any of that fun stuff. We
no.
get Luke, and he takes Grogu into the main storyline, and so Mandalorian can now do his own thing in season 3.
Pretty much.
Back on Mandalore. Where I guess he's going to rule Mandalore because he has the Darksaber.
I don't know. I don't know if for myself, I don't know if even I'm interested. Like, I don't know. I just really liked the Grogu storyline.
They completed it.
They did.
I know, and that's
done.
The thing is they completed it. So why do I need any more of Mandalorian?
See, I'm the opposite.
It's called Mandalorian. It's not called Grogu.
Right. I'm the opposite.
It's called
want,
Baby Yoda show.
I don't need more Grogu. I want more Mandalorian. I want a Mandalorian show. And we're going to get that now. And I'm happy.
Yeah, it's like they sidetracked themselves and they handcuffed themselves. But in doing so, it got a lot of people probably who watched the show who wouldn't have. Like, if Grogu was never in Mandalorian and they started season 3, where they would have started season 1 and just, like, he's out on his own doing bounties and just using all of his cool traits and getting into the mythology of Mandalore planet, people I don't think would be invested as Grogu got... maybe it got 50... percent of its viewership from Grogu, and they lose 25% of that. They still gain 25%.
Yeah. This is yeah. true. This is the way.
I have spoken.
And so then they show nice. The end credits, and there's no concept art this week, and that was actually a little disappointing because I love the concept
yeah,
art.
Yeah, totally.
But there was an end credits scene, and it turns out when Boba Fett left, he somehow picked up Finnick, even though she was fighting at the same time, and they went to Tatooine. And so we get to go to Jabba's palace because everything has to come full circle on the show. Everything's connected. We can't start new things with Ezra or anybody. We have to go back to Jabba's palace, and Bib Fortuna is now in Jabba's seat, and he's gained like 300 pounds since we last saw him. Because once you sit in that throne, you gain weight. It's like there's this weird correlation to it. And so then Boba comes down the stairs with Finnick, and they're standing on the Rancor pit thing. And I don't know why Bib Fortuna didn't just activate that. I'm sure they could have got another little Rancor and just eaten Boba right there. I don't know why they stood on the damn pit. It's like they've never seen it. Like, Boba was there in Return of the Jedi. He knows what that pit does. But anyway, they shoot Bib Fortuna, he kills him, and Boba Fett goes and sits on the throne. And so he was already Boba Fett. I don't know how fat he's going to be by the time we see him again. He's probably going to be like 400, 500 pounds. And the Book of Boba is the new show coming December 2021. And the cool thing, that book is actually a cookbook.
Oh, well, there you go. Makes sense now. Wow. There you go.
That was a recipes. Big lead up to this joke.
I threw a lot out there.
It's a very large lead to this joke.
But yeah, so Disney had that special event last week. Their investor showcase, and they talked about 9 new Star Wars shows. They didn't talk anything about the Book of Boba, so it was literally announced at the end of Mandalorian, and that's a pretty good introduction because December 2021 is the next Star Wars thing, right? Nothing's going to come in between that?
Mm-hmm. As far as I know,
so
yeah.
So this is the next thing.
Which is cool. I mean, that last scene where, I mean, is and which also raises the question, did Boba Fett or not Boba Fett, I'm sorry, did Jabba the Hutt, did he start off as like one of those weird slithery people and then just kind of like melted into this big slug? Kind of like
yeah, didn't you see
how that
prequels?
One guy... No. Oh. Well, I did, but I just don't remember or
but yes,
cared.
He was smaller, yes. He was tiny.
But was he a smaller slug or was he yeah. one of those type of
no,
people?
No, he's a little tiny slug. And
oh,
he
you're saying was he
slug.
One of his... Oh, yeah, no, he was not one of those guys.
Right. Because right, that's okay. what I'm thinking. The way that they made that look is like that guy, if he was to just continue ruling Jabba the Hutt's palace, he would have just turned into a giant slug. He's already got the tail wrapped around
oh,
his
no,
head.
Oh, no, he would have. Like, the whole point of that person, he's like a godfather. He just sits there all day and does nothing while everyone else does, and he
right.
just eats and eats and eats. So yeah, whoever sits on the throne is just going to sit there and eat and get fat. So, sorry, Boba.
Yep. Boba
that
fat.
Armor's not going to fit for too much longer.
It doesn't fit now! No, but I will say the very last part where he's sitting on the throne, he's got his lady with her gun right next to him. It looked pretty badass. Like that was a cool. He looked cool.
I mean, that's one of my favorite set pieces in all of Star Wars. So yeah, it was kind of cool looking. I have to admit.
Yeah,
I have to admit.
But this was the whole Return of the Jedi love letter because you brought out Luke as you know true. The black suited hooded Luke.
Is that why I like this episode? Maybe it was
the Return of the Jedi Tatooine sequence.
I mean, it
but
was.
Now
I...
we're stuck on Tatooine.
Well, that's,
no, that's
for
a different
Boba.
Show.
Yeah, it's a different show altogether. You don't have to watch that show. Yeah. Don't worry.
I don't want no, because we're gonna end up doing this for next year.
Uh-oh.
We got Sorry. A whole year to prepare.
Yeah, but this is the show that everyone wanted, really. Like, even before Mandalorian was announced, like, for like, 10 years, people have been demanding a show
yeah,
in
what,
the CD
how
underworld.
Yeah, how did Boba get out of the Sarlacc pit?
Yeah, yeah, they wanted this. So
they were going to make all it right. into a movie, and now it's a show.
Now it's a show. All right.
I prefer it being a show. I mean...
I do, too.
You can get more story out of it.
Yeah. And so now, we look at all of Season 2, and particularly Episode 8. Was it worth it? Like... For me, my one takeaway was all the dumb things we kind of picked apart were noticeable because we were watching it week to week. Like, if you binge the show, you wouldn't even have really noticed it, and you would have watched the finale so soon after that that it ties everything together, so you wouldn't have been hung up on, like, the lesser episodes.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I can see that, I guess. I feel like I still feel like this season wasn't as strong as the first season, but that might just be me.
I feel like it was more uneven because they did uneven, so many different, like season one had a really, it was like more localized to like a specific, this is a mission 1 to 8. This is like, oh, we're doing all kinds of random crazy stuff. And then we wrapped it all up, done.
And it also felt like, now that with all the announcements, it almost felt like, let's set up 20 different shows. So here's all these different characters.
That's what it, yeah.
Instead of being about Mandalorian. Show.
We have to have a Boba Fett show. We need a season without Grogu show.
Right.
We need like all these different.
All the things.
I think there's 3 shows that are going to be set during the Mandalorian time period now. There was one other one, right?
Yeah, it was the one with Fennec. No, is it Fennec or someone like Fennec?
It starts with an A, right? Is that one?
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many of them now.
Who knows?
But yes,
well,
there is.
So
there is
here's my issue with all these new shows coming out. I feel like we were, I don't know if I expressed this with you guys, but like when Rogue One was coming out, when Solo was coming out, then we had the 3 new movies that came out. I became a little more cynical about it all because I was like, there's too much Star Wars happening.
It's interesting because there was Star Wars fatigue. Like Star Wars used to be a special event. It comes like every few years,
right?
This is a big, huge blockbuster. And they're like, let's do one every year. And then they did from December to May, from that, you know, Last Jedi into Solo or whatever.
Right.
And then Kathleen Kennedy's like, okay, we messed up. That's why this, you fans who complain on the internet, you're right. You know, you 5 people who are super loud, and we're going to cut back on everything. We're not even having any movies on the timeline. And so now we get to the point where we've waited long enough. Look, Mandalorian was good enough. We'd have 10 new shows plus 3 new movies. And oh my God, we got all kinds of Star Wars again, because it's been long enough that we forgot from May 2019. That's how long it's been. Like, I know 2020 has been a long year, but they're acting like, I guess so much people have been like crazed by the pandemic that they forgot about that. And we want 500 new Star Wars things again.
Well, and that's my worry, is now it's going to be another oversaturation of Star Wars, and then I'm not going to care anymore.
They set themselves up to do it again. It's really impressive. They have such short-term memory loss.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and I think having Mandalorian be week to week and have it, you know, have your Baby Yoda stuff, you know, the cutesy type of stuff, it was great. Like, that's what we needed was... We needed this Mandalorian. I don't feel like we need to go just balls deep with all these other ones.
Well, it's because Disney owns Marvel and Star Wars. And so it works for Marvel. There can be movies every 6 months for Marvel.
Because they're totally different.
You can have Disney Plus shows. Yeah, you can have Ms. Marvel and She-Hulk and Captain America and Winter Soldier. And you can do all this stuff while you're still releasing big movies.
Right.
But... they're trying to do that to Star Wars, and I don't know if it's like me personally. I'm excited to see an Ahsoka show. I'll watch a Boba Fett show. I'll watch Mandalorian season 3. I'll watch that period in between Phantom Menace and the High Republic, and I'll watch all these shows. But I'm a big, huge Star Wars fan. If you're not, and you're just like passively watching Star Wars, you're just going to tune it out. It's not the same way that Marvel is as intriguing to have, because you already are familiar with Marvel has a huge, gigantic cast of characters.
Mm-hmm.
Big Star Wars fans tell you, oh, there's a huge gigantic universe to explore, but that's never really connected to mainstream, that there's a big huge universe to explore.
Yeah, fair point.
It's tough.
It is tough, but but here's the thing. Star Wars is very grounded in their ways of, you've got your Jedi, you've got, you know, XYZ. I mean, and like we were just saying, I mean, with Marvel, we can have a space adventure in one movie. We can have a movie on Earth. We can have, you know, we can do so much more than Star. I mean, Star Wars has potential to do that, but they like to stick with Tatooine. They like to stick with stuff that we've seen for the last 40 years.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I just looked up all the shows that are coming. I mean... so you have the Bad Batch, which is essentially an extension of Clone Wars, so that's nothing new. Then you have the Book of Boba Fett, and then Ahsoka, and then Rangers of the New Republic, which is, that's the show that's going to be set in the same time as Mandalorian. Okay. And then Andor, so we're going to go back to Rogue One and repurpose that character. And then Obi-Wan is going to be on Tatooine because this is the time period he has to be overlooking Luke. I don't know. The Acolyte is the only one I'm interested in because it's done by the makers of Russian Doll. Yeah. And it's the whole High Republic era that hasn't been explored that much. So a lot of it is just retreaded re-stuff. It's like... Is.
And no but announcement that's the thing. Of the like, Rian Johnson trilogy, so... Oh, well.
Like, I feel like Rogue One was exactly like you guys all said, how it's, like, just something that we all kind of... You don't need to explain what Rogue One was. They explained it in A New Hope, what happened, and...
Exactly.
Rogue One is a greatly made film that was completely unnecessary to make.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, it was really nice, real pretty, but there was no point for it.
Yeah.
They could have made that a whole different Star Wars story. Just, it didn't have to line up with, you know.
But I guess if all of these are coming to Disney Plus, you don't have to watch them. Honestly, I could care less about the Andor story or the Obi-Wan story.
I think Obi-Wan might be kind of cool, though.
What's he doing? Sitting under a rock fighting sand people?
Nice.
On brand.
I don't know. Like, out of all of
they
them,
they said that Hayden Christensen's gonna be on it. No.
Like how? What?
No. No.
Force Ghost. Force
no,
Ghost.
He's alive.
No, wait. He would be Darth Vader. Oh yeah. God. Yep.
He's gonna be Darth Vader. He's gonna be like, Obi-Wan, I know where you are, but I'm not gonna kill you, and I'm gonna wait for a while. And I know that you're overlooking my son. I don't understand how you piece Darth Vader into that storyline.
Oh, wow, yeah. How do you?
Sense. Don't know.
So anyway, Mandalorian season 3, I guess it'll be coming at some point, and there's no Grogu on it because they wrote him out of the show.
Full yep. on.
Hopefully, we won't have to see any CGI Luke again. That's my fingers crossed.
Oh god, can you imagine the whole season?
See CGI, dude. You're gonna see CGI. Yeah, it's gonna happen in Obi-Wan. It's got to.
No, I'm talking about a whole show of just him and Grogu. Just them talking. Be great.
Where, yeah, him trying to train him up and stuff.
He's like, only his lips move the whole time, with dubbed over voices from like old movies.
Yeah, he's like, "May the Force be with you." That's all that he says.
The annoying orange. That's how they'll do it.
Yes, just like
the annoying orange mouth. They'll plaster on. Grogu, let's do some fun Force stuff.
Use the Force. Come on, Grogu.
Oh wow. Hey, Trevor, do we have any ads this week?
Yeah, because you got to keep us supported. So we're going to talk about WandaVision coming soon.
Wait a second. What?
Listen.
Wait, so we're doing a WandaVision episode?
Maybe. And not just an episode.
Oh, God.
A whole series?
Like, my two least favorite Marvel characters.
The Book of Boba Fett. We're going to talk about it episode by episode.
That I'm in on that. Except for being on Tatooine, but whatever.
He'll only be on Tatooine for like the first episode.
Okay, yeah. That's
going to set up like a guild of bounty hunters.
Oh, dude.
And then they're all going to disappoint him and he's just going to have to kill him every week.
Every week. I hope Cobb Vance makes a return.
He's too high-paying of an actor. I don't think so. It's going to happen.
I don't think so either, but you know what? It's Star Wars, man. It's Disney. They got billions of dollars.
Money. Who knows?
Oh, they did.
Uh-oh. What does that mean? Did I miss something?
No, it's just the parks aren't making any money.
Right. Okay.
Cool. So, hopefully everyone enjoyed us talking about Mandalorian Season 2. You can go back and listen to our crazy takes, and we knew everything that was going to happen this season wasn't very exciting, but
it's paid by numbers,
it's done, it's over. If you loved Baby Yoda, I'm sorry, you're going to have to go back and watch Season 1 and Season 2 again, because
he's dead now!
Yeah, dude, it's over. Ben killed him.
What is it?
A new...
Yeah, Ben kills him during Last Jedi.
Last
backstory.
Jedi, that's one, yeah.
You hate to see it.
Too bad they didn't have, like, Grogu as a Force ghost with actual Yoda. They're like, hey, you look familiar. Familiar you look.
So we're not even going to get any more backstory of Grogu.
Nope.
Until the self-titled Grogu show is announced at the Disney Investor Showcase next year.
Next year, baby.
Please don't do it. Don't do it.
Instead of growing pains, it's called Grogu pains. That'll be great.
Oh my god. That's if the title's not Grogu pains, they can just scrap it right now. Shut that.
Forget it. It's Grogu pains.
Oh wow.
So to everyone listening, we hope you enjoyed. We'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, prog out.
Yep, and DeLorean Wolfgang is rolling out as well.